views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
When it comes to transforming our lives, we need to have a warrior mindset. Angela Watson Robertson, the Reinvention Warrior, is here for the next hour to help you become just that. Join Angela as she fights for you to become a Reinvention Warrior and transform all areas of your life. Plus, she'll talk to the best masters in the transformation business and discover their tips and tools for positive change. Stay tuned, because you're listening to Masters of Reinvention with Angela Watson Robertson, the ultimate guide to changing your life. Get ready, because that change starts now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Angela Watson Robertson, and welcome to Masters of Reinvention, your ultimate guide to changing your life. I'm so glad you're here. Each month on this show, I interview a master in the art of reinventing your life and your health to help inspire you and empower you to live your best life. So for the next 60 minutes, we'll be exploring how you can experience less stress, greater well-being, and even better physical health by changing the story of your health. Today, I have Dr. Carl Greer with me to discuss his recent book, Change the Story of Your Health, as we discuss how you can change the story of your health through the use of shamanic and Jungian techniques for healing. Carl Greer is a practicing clinical psychologist, Jungian analyst, and shamanic practitioner. He teaches at the C.G. Jung Institute of Chicago, is on staff at the Replogle Center for Counseling and Well-Being, and is the best-selling author of Change Your Story, Change Your Life, and Change the Story of Your Health. Dr. Greer, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here, Angela. Thank you.
So glad to have you here. First, let me say that I absolutely loved reading your books. I dove through them over the past few weeks, and I wanted to show our viewers on Facebook Live. So your recent book, Change the Story of Your Health, and your previous book, Change Your Story, Change Your Life. So thank you so much for writing them. Thank you for offering your work into the world. And as someone new to shamanic practices, I just want to say that I did learn a lot and some things that I can now apply, you know, to my life. So thank you, sir.
You're most welcome.
So I wanted to dive in and ask you a little bit more about your most recent book, Change the Story of Change Your Life. So your book is all about health, and I wanted to talk a little bit about what it means to have a story about our health. So can you tell me, what is exactly a person's story of his or her health?
It's what you would answer if someone said, Angela, you could talk a little bit about your health, and you would open it up wherever you chose to open it up. And you might say, well, currently I feel such and such, or I used to feel like this, now I feel like that. It's the things we tell ourselves that we can look at as a story. And I find that when we do that, stories have the energy of emotions and themes, as well as facts. And it allows us to hook into our health in ways other than just a sterile lot of words.
Okay. So when you say we have a story of our health, when you use the word story, sometimes we hear, you know, in psychology, or I know sometimes I've heard people refer to story as something that's made up in my mind. That's not true. So what do you mean so much by the word story? How would you define that?
Well, it's what we would say about our health. And it's an interesting thing you just said. Are we making that up? But if it's coming from our mind, it has some meaning to us. Even the things that we make up are significant, I believe. And so if we develop the ability to step back from the story that we've told ourselves and observe it, then we can start to make changes. Otherwise, sometimes we're caught in the flow of our story, which is often written by somebody else, our culture, our parents, so on and so forth.
Okay, so you're saying that even if it is... Sorry.
It's an entry point to get into our lives, and particularly about our health.
Okay. So you're saying that even if, let's say, we did maybe make something up, in quotes, that there's still value to that because it's still something that, you know, we are perceiving or experiencing.
Yes.
Okay. So I know that in your book you talk a little bit about, you know, being attached to a story or maybe needing to create a new story. And this is something I really resonate with in my own life when I realize, wow, I'm really attached to a certain type of way of viewing the world and I need to change. So how does someone know, and it may or may not even be an issue, but how does someone know when they are attached to a specific story about their health? And then the second part is, how do they know then when they should probably create a new story?
Well, I think the first step is to have a way that they can engage what they think the story is. So you have to start with what is in order to be able to change it. And what I have found, oftentimes people aren't really wanting to be truthful about what is. They want to tell the story that they want others to hear, as opposed to perhaps the story that actually is for them. That gets back to what do you make up or what is your truth. But once you start as hard as you can to be honest with yourself about your health story, then you're at a starting point to ask yourself, would you like it to be different? And if you'd like it to be different, then the question is, why isn't it? If you have an idea as to what you'd like to be different in your health story, but it's not that way, then you ask yourself, why isn't it? And I'm suggesting that often it's not different because there's part of us that doesn't want it to be different. So a lot of my practices are to get to those unconscious parts of ourselves that are keeping us from changing when another part of us would like to change. So the first step is to be honest with yourself. And I have practices I talk about in my book to help us do that. I have questions I suggest you might ask yourself. Then when you're at the place where you'd like to change, perhaps, I have ways you can look at the reasons why you haven't been changing and maybe get energy and information to make those changes.
Okay. So it sounds like understanding why you aren't changing is kind of part of the work that you're doing. And that's probably some fertile ground for doing some personal development work. If you see that, hey, there's this area that I would like to change, but it's not changing, that actually can be valuable information in the process.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So I know that you talk about in your book your, you know, previous life, you had an MBA, you still, you know, you have an MBA, you're a business owner, you're still working in business. So I'm wondering about your, you know, personally, when you made that big transition from being in business to being a psychologist and working with shamanic healing, did you see a need to write a new story in your own life? Tell me a little bit more about your own personal journey.
You know, there's this idea of zero-based budgeting and muddling through. Zero-based budgeting is every once in a while you just take stock and start from scratch, or you take from where you are and just tweak it at the margins and muddle through. I'm a muddler through-er. And I started off, in a business family. My dad worked for U.S. Steel. I worked for U.S. Steel in the mills, summers. I thought I would be a middle American, middle-class guy working in industry. And then I had a chance to go to graduate school at Columbia. I got my doctorate there. I taught at the business school. And I thought, well, that's a different kind of life. But then I gravitated back to business. I worked in business still am in one form or another for 50 years. But halfway through, I got dissatisfied. It wasn't feeding my soul. I had an early interest in psychology, so I went back to school in clinical psychology. That was better than what I had been doing in some ways in terms of feeding my soul, but I still had a yearning for more. I became a Jungian analyst. I wanted more. Then I got interested in Eastern practices, Qigong and so forth, martial arts, and then shamanism. And for the last 17 years, shamanism has been my real important spiritual path. So I've just kind of been touched by spirit from time to time in ways that are hard to understand, except maybe in hindsight. And I am where I am now, getting towards the end of my life, but feeling happier and more fulfilled in many ways than I ever have.
Wow, I love stories of transformation and change and reinvention like that. And it sounds like you were able to kind of blend your previous career, your previous life with your new career. It's not necessarily that you had to, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater. So hold that thought. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll explore more about changing the story of your health and feeling better. You are listening to Masters of Reinvention with Angela Watson Robertson and my guest, Dr. Carl Greer, author of Change the Story of Your Health. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the life creator system and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
Best-selling author, spiritual life, and business coach Joe Nunziata brings his higher energy and no-nonsense style to people who are ready to make powerful changes now. Wake up, step up, power up with a shot of Joe. Join Joe the second and fourth Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern for 30 minutes of high energy, no nonsense, and powerful tools to make powerful changes. Visit joenunz.com. That's joenunz.com.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundations Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature, or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Your happiness is your choice on Natural Peace Radio. Follow Sarah Van Rieswijk as she addresses the power of emotions. Each month, Sarah covers different topics as she helps listeners activate their energetic spark and create powerful energy and amazing opportunities. Manifest your desires with Natural Peace Radio. For more information on Sarah and her work, visit naturalpeaceliving.com.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Gain powerful insight and practical tools to support you on your spiritual journey. Access your higher self and tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin and now co-host Jeremy Nudell, Walking the Path of Freedom. Andrew is a highly attuned intuitive oracle, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and international radio host. For more about Andrew and his services, visit andrewmartin.energy.
Welcome back. You're listening to Masters of Reinvention. I'm Angela Watson Robertson. My guest today is Dr. Carl Greer, who is talking with us about his book, Change the Story of Your Health, and how you can use shamanic and Jungian techniques for healing. But before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact my guest, Dr. Greer. Could you tell our listeners how we can learn more about you and your work, Dr. Greer?
Well, my webpage is carlgreer.com. And I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and I blog periodically, and I have a newsletter.
Oh, great. And where can our listeners find your books?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, some independent bookstores, and my publisher is Finhorn Press, and they have books as well.
Okay, great. And for those of you that want to connect with me and learn more about me, you can go to my website at angelawatsonrobertson.com. So Dr. Greer, let's get back to talking a little bit more about your book. I want to talk about your previous book, which won 3 book awards, called Change Your Story, Change Your Life. I was wondering, why did you choose to focus this time with your second book on health stories and how to transform them?
As a clinical psychologist, Jungian analyst, shamanic practitioner. I listened to lots of stories over the years, hundreds. And a lot of them have to do with health. And it's topical in the culture right now as we have changes in our healthcare system. In my own life, I'm dealing with various health issues as I'm getting older. So I just thought, why not just focus a book on health, but the spiritual, psychological, energetic aspects that can influence our physical health were of interest to me, and I hope to my readers.
Yes, I understand that. As someone who works with people around the topic of health, it is definitely something that is at the cornerstone of happiness and, you know, quality of life. So that makes a lot of sense. And I'm not surprised that when you're talking with a lot of people, it seems like health is something that is just a big issue, regardless whether career, relationships, you know, all the different types of things that people can struggle with. It seems like health is at the cornerstone and kind of the crux of a lot of the places where we get stuck in life. Sounds like you would agree.
Yeah, I mean, our health can influence our psychologies, you know, our moods and our depressions and our anxieties. It can influence our ability to be spiritual, as likewise our ability to be spiritual, our psychologies can influence our health. So that feedback loop is, if we can become more aware of how that works, can be helpful to us. And that's kind of the gist of this book, is we have more power to do self-healing than we think. And I give some suggestions as to how that might look.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about, in the last segment, about how one may be attached to an old story about our health or an old way of, you know, viewing things, and that story may need to be changed. So once someone realizes, you know, hey, I need to write a new story, kind of like you said in your own life, you realized you wanted to make a change, how do they know what kind of story to write? What if there's someone who doesn't really know what they want, but yet they know they need to change?
Well, I would ask them to put a little energy into having them tell themselves what they want. For example, if one of your old stories has been you're tired most of your life, you don't have a lot of energy, you might want to say, I'd like to have more energy, whatever that would look like. Another story might be, you know, I push myself. I don't believe in doctors. I'm going to tough it out. Well, that may have served you for a certain part of your life, but maybe now you need to be available to have other people help you. But you have to kind of have a little realization about that. Or even if you don't, tell yourself, I'd like to feel better. I'd like to not be so cranky. I'd like to not be so anxious. Just as an intent. You know, there's this idea in energy medicine that energy follows intent. I believe that. So you have to have an intent as to what you'd like. And it's nice to have an intent based on what is rather than some amorphous wish. So the more you can anchor it into something that is, the more chance you have to envision what you'd like it to be. And then you can say, all right, I want to be less tired. What are you going to do that? Well, there's a lot of self-help literature about diet and meditation and exercise to do that. But then we always have this question, you may not do it, or you may not know all the things to do. And I'm saying you can start to deal with the unconscious, these transpersonal realms that shamans and Jungians talk about, and really, in a real way, get information and energy to change. So it's suggesting to people that you have more power once you access these bigger energies than you think to change. And I tell people ways that they might do that.
Yeah, I love the empowerment side of your work, really empowering people to see that they have more power to make changes than they may think they do. They're not necessarily stuck. DNA is not destiny, that type of thing. I that really resonates with me.
Yes.
So one question I have, which is making me think about a specific client that I've been working with recently, is when someone is writing a new story, or they're saying, you know, to themselves what their intent is for how they want to experience their, you know, their health or their new life, would you suggest that someone just go with what comes to mind, so which could be considered desires of the ego or what your mind says you want for your health at that time? I think what I'm trying to ask is, is what we want at the time? Is it not what is best for the highest good for all? So sometimes I work with clients who get tripped up and they'll say, well, I think I want this kind of scenario. So, you know, let's say they have a severe disease and they say, I think what is best is I want to get well, but what if, you know, the grand plan for my life is that that this disease be, you know, be a part of my life? So how do we know what really is best for us? Or do we just go with what, you know, we feel like we want at the time and look for signs? Long question.
Well, I certainly would pay attention to what the ego wants.
Okay.
But then I suggest ways, and ego, I don't want to bifurcate it as all left brain, but, you know, there's left brain, right brain. But another way to get kind of clues as to what maybe you want, the bigger you besides the ego, would be to engage the right brain through what song captures the new story that you would like. If you were to dance it, what would that look like? If you were to draw a picture of it, what would it look like? Write a poem about it. And then if you can step back and just have this observing ego, not judging it, but an observing ego to get some sense of, what did I just say? What does that have to do with anything? You may get a clue that's bigger than what your ego thinks. But then, once you've done that, I'm suggesting you could go to those inner parts of yourself. Let's say the inner wise person, the inner healer. And I have a practice called dialoguing, conversation with that part. And you may get a completely different picture as to what is best for you. You gave an example of, say, a disease. Well, you could ask your inner healer questions about that disease. Or I suggest you can ask the disease itself. You know, why are you here? What do you want from me? What can I do for you? You get into a conversation, and it's amazing, Angela, the power of those conversations that I've seen for myself and also with many other people once they get past the self-consciousness of doing that.
Yeah, I love your suggestion to kind of bypass just the analytical mind and use the dancing and maybe even art or writing or drawing to connect with what you want in addition. I think those are great suggestions.
And you had mentioned getting connected, identifying with your story, and how do you break that identification? And what might that look like? You know, another example is sometimes people tell themselves this story at a conscious or unconscious level. I've come from a family of men who all die of heart disease by the time they're 60. I probably will too. And there's not much I can do about that. Mm-hmm. But that can be a story that we identify with, we're attached to, but really can have impact on what happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm suggesting that we don't have to be a victim of that story. We have a lot to do in terms of changing our the way genes express themselves so that we're not destined to do what everybody else in our family did. And I talk about how we might break that identification, break that story.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about some of those steps. So I know that we've talked a lot about writing a new story for your health. You've talked about some of the practices to connect with what you want, you know, the dancing and the song for your health. You go through a lot in your book, a lot of steps where people can kind of follow those steps to write a new story for their health. Could you break that down for me in kind of just a few steps of, you know, if someone said, hey, you know, Dr. Greer, I want to write a new story. Where should I start?
Well, one thing I can say, all right, Angela, you want to write a new story, just tell me about your health, the history of your health story. Mm-hmm. And you can start any way you want. You know, when I was a kid, I had these kind of illnesses, and then I moved to, you know, Texas, and this kind of happened to my health, and then some people in my life had these things, and that's happened to me, and, you know, you get all the way to the present. That would be a start. Or I could say, hey, just look at the way you, your habits of eating and drinking, what works for you, what doesn't, you know, how's your weight been? So you have a whole little section about that. Then how about movement and exercise, flexibility, balance, strength, stamina? How's that been for you? What works, what doesn't? How about aging and menopause and andropause and self-image? You know, how's that been for you? And then how about any chronic diseases you have? You know, how does that fit into your life? Is there any payoff from this stuff? You know, what's working, what's not? Any acute illnesses, how does that work? So you just get little data points That would be ways to start to engage your story analytically. And then stuff gets brought up when you do that. And you start to see if you're able to take stock and observe what's happening, you're able to get maybe a new relationship to what you've written than you had in the past. That's the hope, that somehow in the moment, you're going to be making different decisions as a result of this work as it relates to your health. What you eat, what you drink, how you sleep, what you exercise, because that's what it's all about. All this psychological shaman work is only to influence what you do currently in your life, and hopefully it will be different and better if you do the work, because the rest of it's just kind of in your head. But mm-hmm. I'm looking at how can you concretely make changes moment to moment in your life so that your past doesn't influence you as much as it used to, and you're hooked up to a better future that is more desirable for you and whatever idea of spirit or source that you have. That's kind of the gist of the work, as I see it.
Okay, great. And it sounds like as your client's talking with you and answering a lot of those questions, they're probably having aha moments within themselves saying, wow, this is working, this isn't working. And they probably kind of answer their own questions as far as what should I do next, or, you know, what is helpful and what's not helpful for me, in addition to, you know, working with you and kind of getting some insights and recommendations.
Yes. And then the proof's in the pudding. When they leave my office or they get back into their life, are they going to be different in their relationships? Are they going to be different with their kids, their loved ones, their parents? Are they going to be different with what they eat, what they drink, when they sleep, how they, how much television they watch, you know, how they spend their money, you know, how they manage time? Because those moment-to-moment changes in all those areas are what make up our story, including our health story.
Yeah, you're right. It's one thing to have clarity or to have an aha moment or to have a great session, you know, with a therapist you're working with, but then do you really go and make those changes in your life? You know, do you write it down? Do you really make those changes? And that's a whole nother world, right?
and I'm suggesting if you let it become overwhelming, it can be overwhelming, but if you make little changes at the margin, just tweak this, tweak that. I've been amazed for myself and for many others. They can accumulate. These little changes at the margins can all of a sudden become bigger changes when you look back, because we're all creatures of habit. You know, we have habits of doing things, thinking about things that are possible to break, but they're not always easy.
Yes. Yes. Small baby steps can really, you know, accumulate up to really big changes in our life and in our health. So hold that thought, Dr. Greer. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about changing the story of your health and writing a new story for your life. You are listening to Masters of Reinvention with Angela Watson Robertson and my guest, Dr. Carl Greer, author of the book, Change the Story of Your Health. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have you ever said to yourself, I need to let this go? While the phrase sounds effective, what does it actually mean? How do you let something go? Hi, I'm Eve from Elite Tarot, host of the weekly show Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. As an intuitive coach and professional tarot card reader, I work with clients worldwide on using energy effectively to embrace joy. Here's an idea when letting something go. Find a time you won't be disturbed, and just between you and the universe, handwrite a letter sharing all your feelings of anger, hurt, and sadness. At the end, write, however, I choose to live my life with love, joy, and strength, and so for all that, I release you. After you sign your name, immediately shred the letter, noting how your body physically feels as you release something that you've been carrying for oh so long. If you'd like to schedule a session, please visit my site at elitetarot.com. That's ELITETAROT.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue. The conversations will become stronger and the healing epic.
Around the world, no cars on the highway.
Welcome back. You're listening to Masters of Reinvention. I'm Angela Watson Robertson. My guest today is Dr. Carl Greer, who is talking with us about his recent book, Change the Story of Your Health, and how you can write a new story for your health and your life. Dr. Greer, I want to just dive in and talk a little bit more about this concept of having an inner healer, because you talk about that a lot in your book. So can you tell me exactly what does it mean that we all have our own inner healer?
From a Jungian perspective, we are made up of many parts, some of which we are conscious of and some we're not. And Jungians might call those parts having an archetypal nature, that an archetype would influence how we think, act, and feel. And again, consciously and unconsciously impact how we live our lives. So one such inner figure could be an inner wise person. It could also be an inner healer. Andrew Weil, who's a pioneer in integrative medicine, talks about our own intrinsic innate healing mechanisms and how if we can learn how to mobilize those, we can become healthier. And it's a small extension from that to think that those mechanisms can be thought of as a energy with awareness, which I call the inner healer. And I really believe we have such of a energy within us that we can learn to relate to. That's what I mean by inner healer.
Okay. So if someone didn't resonate with maybe the word healer, it sounds like they could refer to it, as you said, you know, the inner wise woman, inner wise man, you know, the inner energy. There's, excuse me, lots of terms they could use for that kind of energy within them.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It has information. For us, and that can help us. We can work with it.
Okay. So it's definitely something on our side that we can work with.
Yes, yes. I mean, it may have a different opinion than our ego position. And some of these inner figures may not always be simpatico with our ego position, but we can learn to work with them. And if we don't learn to work with them, we do it at our peril because... again, from a Jungian perspective, that which has not been made conscious can come up and grab us and bite us.
Oh, that's a good point. So you want to really be cultivating that relationship with the inner healer. So what are some ways you can really work with your own inner healer, your own inner wisdom, to learn something about your health that you might not discover if you did not work with this inner energy?
Have a conversation with it. Set up a formal way of... It's almost I don't want to overuse the word sacred, but it's doing, you know, sacred spiritual work where we're honoring these energies that are bigger than we And that once we've kind of set ourselves up in that mode, then recognize that we do have these inner parts that can be of service to us, but they may have an agenda that's different than we know. And if we can just listen to them and ask them, what message do you have for me today about my health? What do you want from me? What do I need to give up or do less of to have better health? What do I need to do more of? What do I need to gain to have better health? To have that kind of a conversation. And then once it's done, like with a person, thank that energy for working with you. You know, this idea of gratitude that you're working with in a reciprocal way. What can I do for you now? What can I do for you? And all these works of asking and giving and taking, what can I do for you as well as what can you do for me?
Okay, so just like any relationship, not just using this energy, but also working with the energy and giving as well as receiving.
Yes.
Okay. So if someone is interested in really diving into some of these shamanic practices, of course, working with your book and reading your book is really helpful. But what is a first step toward really adding the shamanic practices into their daily life? Just the average, modern working person, how would they add some of these practices into their daily life?
I'd say spend some time in preparing for them. And one way you do that is the notion, Angela, is that most of our lives are dictated by the sympathetic nervous system. You know, we're kind of in our frontal lobes, and we're kind of, aware and, trying to react to stimuli and to plan and, just get our to-do list done. Whereas if you can get into a different mode where you are less influenced by the sympathetic nervous system, but more the parasympathetic nervous system, instead of the frontal lobes, it's more the hindbrain, then you go into a place that some call integrative processing, where you're more aware and you can access these invisible realms that are around us all the time, but they're more present for you because you're more receptive to them. So the first step to your question would be you prepare yourself for these practices. And how do you do that? Well, one way is to breathe. You just kind of breathe in a way that kind of relaxes you, that kind of resets the brain instead of the beta alpha. It's more alpha theta. You're kind of have slower brain waves. You're operating from a different neurochemical place than you were. Then I talk about this idea of calling in the directions above and below. And the notion here is that this is a cosmic quantum physics idea, that we all came from someplace before the Big Bang. There was something before that. And I call it the source or the quiet, the place of pure potential where everything is possible. It's before the idea, the form of the idea. And something happened to stimulate our universe and all the forces seen and unseen and all the planets and galaxies and stars and archetypes and people and plants. And one notion is that all of these things have an awareness. All of these things are connected to everything else. And if we can learn to relate to these seen and unseen things, this place of pure potential, we can cause things to happen that otherwise wouldn't. So when people call the directions, the medicine wheel and so forth, they're calling in emanations of this creative force, that they're using in their own ways to do things that they otherwise wouldn't be able to do. So you breathe, you try to get your brain waves a little slower, you are more relaxed. Now you call in these emanations from spirit to work with you, to help you, and you believe that it's possible that there's things out there that you can't see that can actually work with you. Then you're ready to start to do the work. Then you might even learn to start to visualize that you're an energetic being with an energetic field, and then you can start to just see yourself. Do you feel frayed in your field? Do you feel it's coherent or not? And then you can learn to start to maybe mend it just with your mind. You say, but aren't I making all that stuff up? Well, yes and no, but what is it you're making up and who's making it up? So now you're prepared to do the work. A great place to do it is in nature. Be in nature. There's overwhelming evidence that if you're around evergreen trees, there's a chemical called phytoncide that influences your immune system positively. You know, if you're around negative ions and running water, it influences the production of serotonin. So there's a lot of just being in nature. We talked about just the power of walking in the woods. It can reset you. Then you're more available to these realms, and then you can start to do the practices in ways that might be easier than if you're doing them without the preparation.
Okay. So it sounds like, in a really simplified way of saying it, one way that just the average person could start to implement some of these practices is getting into nature and spending more time in nature, paying more attention to breathing, to the breath, and then going back to that inner healer question, you know, really engaging in a conversation relationship with our inner healer a little bit more. Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
And
you have that conversation, so your symptoms. I mean, let's say you have a migraine headache. You could ask yourself, why do I keep getting you? What purpose are you serving? What meaning do you have in my life? What do I need to give up to have less of you? What do I need to gain to have less of you? So it's
okay. And that conversation with the inner healer, is this a conversation that has to be said out loud? Can it be done, you know, writing? How does that conversation look with that inner healer?
It could be done out loud. It can be done in writing. One way to do it is get a stone and blow in however you envision what that inner healer's energy is. Blow in that energy. Whew! Then you put it across from you, and that is your inner healer. You ask it a question. Then you actually physically go over, pick it up, take a breath, become the inner healer. So now you become that part that lives within you who is answering the question that Angela just gave. So you answer, then you move back to the Angela person, and she reflects on what she just heard, and then she asks another question, and she goes back over. And once you get past that awkwardness of doing that, it's amazing. You know, you start to realize, yeah, I really, there's something alive in this inner healer part that I didn't realize that's giving me, the Angela, my ego consciousness, some information. And all of a sudden, at the end of the exchange, you say, gee, that was interesting. Where did that come from? What's that all about? And then you have a chance to reflect on it and see, based on that, you want to do anything different than you would have had you not had the conversation. And oftentimes people say, damn, I will do something different, because it's really it's an insight. It's that aha moment. Now we're back to, what do you do when you leave the space where you've done this, and you're going to the grocery store? You're going to, you know, buy something different. You know, you're going to have a little less dessert. You're going to eat more, you know, kale. Are you going to, you know, have more or less alcohol, and so on and so forth? But it's a whole new re-racking of you with you that can be very healthy.
Okay, very powerful. Well, we're going to take another break, but before we do, can you tell our listeners one more time how they can get in contact with you, and also where your books are available?
Yes, my website is carlgreer.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. My books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, independent bookstores, and from Findhorn Press.
All right, great. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll explore more about how you can change the story of your health and use shamanic practices for healing. You are listening to Masters of Reinvention. I'm Angela Watson Robertson, and I have my guest, Dr. Carl Greer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Tune in to the hit show Raging Skillet Radio, mouthing off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
My sleeves are stained red from all the truth that I've said. Come by it honestly, I swear. Thought you saw me wink, no, I've been on the brink. So tell me what you want to hear.
Welcome back. You're listening to Masters of Reinvention. I'm Angela Watson Robertson. My guest today is Dr. Carl Greer, who is talking with us about his recent book, Change the Story of Your Health, and how you can write a new story for your health and your life. So, Dr. Greer, in your books, you mentioned something you call expanded awareness practices that can help people gain insights and energies for healing. Can you talk with us a little bit more about one of those practices and how a person could use those to change his or her story, health story specifically?
By expanded awareness practices, I mean ways to access transpersonal realms. These are realms that are available to all of us. Some of us might think of them as the unconscious realms, so that we find ourselves a part of a larger world than we think that we normally are in. And shamans talk about journeying to those realms. They talk about a lower world journey where you get information from your past, say, an upper world journey where you can get information from your future, all to the goal of making changes in the present. So an example of such a journey would be go to the lower world to find out what energies from your past are influencing your current health story. And I have a journey in my book that takes people to a place where you can do that. What you need to give up from your past to have a different health story today. What you need to gain from your past that you might have lost. Similarly, there's an upper world journey that I have. Let's say you go out 10 years from now and you make no changes in the health story that you're living. How will you be? You know, how will you be psychologically, physically, symptom-wise, and so forth. And then what changes might you make in order for that story to be different? What do you need to do differently? And if you were to do so, how would your health story look 10 years from now? So that's an example of a story, another of a journey. Another one is death, the energy of death. What in our lives needs to die in order for us to have a different health story? And you can work with that energy. You know, death is around us all the time. You know, we mm-hmm. consciously and unconsciously are killing things and bringing things to life. So mm-hmm. if we can have a more conscious relationship to all these energies, I think we gain freedom of action to change better than had we not had these experiences.
Okay. Can you share an experience or situation where you, either personally or working with a client, have used some of these practices to affect your own health story and, you know, how it worked out for you?
One of the things about this kind of work, there's single study, single person studies. I mean, you don't have like big clinical trials. So even though you can have what seems like a miraculous thing, you never know for sure what caused what. But having said that, I mean, I've worked with people who have had tumors of a certain size, and they've done work around the meaning of that cancer, how it impacts their lives, and as a result of whatever work they've done in the presence of spirit, there's been changes in their physical health, including their cancers. Now, what causes what, I don't know, but people who have journeyed in many occasions have had physical positive effects. People who have had diabetes, they can learn to interact with the energy of their symptom and make life changes as a result of that. I've had people with fibromyalgia, you know, interact in a dialoguing way, or gastrointestinal stuff. In my own case, I have prostate cancer, and so I do work around that, and who knows what's causing what, but as we speak, I'm still in a watching wait aspect of it, recognizing that things can change for reasons none of us can understand. I've had blockages in arteries, which I've had surgically, you know, stents put in, but I've also done, you know, this kind of work, and I've had blockages go away. Again, I don't know if it's change in diet, energy work, or whatever, but so I practice what I preach. I talk about everything is a teacher if you're open to it. You know, once I was out, before I knew I had prostate cancer, and I was out in a wintertime, we were talking about, you know, it's tougher to go out in the wintertime, but sometimes it's an interesting time. And it was a moon was out, but there were a lot of clouds. So I was just kind of meditating. What's the meaning of all this? And what message do you have for me? And I was just saying, you know, there's something there, but I can't see it. And the idea that a lot of times things are invisible, but they're present. How do we relate to the unseen? And so it gave me a sense of that. Shortly after that, I found out that I had this diagnosis. So it was present, but I didn't see it. Well, what's the meaning of those types of ideas? Things are present, you don't see it. In nature, journey work, working with our dreams can give us symbols and images that we can use to make changes in our conscious life.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that about your personal journey. So I'd love to talk a little bit more about the journal, the journal exercises that you recommend your readers to try. And some of the journaling exercises had questions I thought were really interesting, like if there's a saying, a song, a book, or a movie title that expresses your story about this aspect of your health, what would it be? That type of thing. And we talked a little bit about, you know, dancing your story and finding a song for your story. Another example that you put in your book were keep on keeping on, no matter the cost. I deserve it. I earned it. I'm eating it. This all sounds like fun, you know, finding a song for your health, dancing your health. But can you tell us a little bit about why it might be very helpful to think of a song or a title of a song that kind of sums up somebody's, you know, attitude and experiences of health?
Well, we talked earlier about sometimes the analytic mind has limitations. It may not see things. Whereas if you open it up to the lyrical mind, the poetic mind, the body movement, you may get an insight you didn't have. You may see that one of your themes that you never really realized is keeping on, keeping on. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm never going to rest. You may have another theme that's the opposite of that. You know, I it's not worth the struggle. I'm just going to kind of turn myself over to others to take care of me. Yes. And you may realize what that's been about. So it gives you an insight to your truth that you perhaps didn't have. You're still left with, what do I do about it? Now that I know this, what do I do about it? But you're better off, in my opinion, to have that insight. And by working in the way I'm describing, the way you're describing, that I do in my book, I think you have a better chance to get these insights, as to what themes have been running you so far, and then you want a different theme to be there. When you're just moving your health story, you may all of a sudden get a sense of, hey, I'm kind of stiff. I'm kind of rigid in the way I'm doing it. I'm awkward. I'm self-conscious. Well, what other areas of my life am I stiff and awkward and self-conscious in? And what does that mean? Does that have any insight to me about my health story? Because that's a picture I'm getting of myself that I didn't have before.
Okay. And
how do I then be more fluid and graceful and more flow? And the idea of constriction, you know, in my own case, I grew up in Pittsburgh. My parents smoked. I'm sure that I had external images and energies of constriction, but also maybe my life, gets constricted with clutter and, just stuff. And so how do I take these metaphors and work with them differently so that my health is affected more positively?
You've been listening to Masters of Reinvention with Angela Watson Robertson, the ultimate guide to changing your life. The only show on the radio to bring together top transformation experts who will show you how to positively change your life, along with expertly researched nutrition and lifestyle advice. See all of the Reinvention Warriors programs and free wellness tips at AngelaWatsonRobertson.com. Experience powerful life reinvention coaching and learn to beat fatigue naturally with our new program, Fatigue Warrior. And be sure to tune in to Masters of Reinvention each month on Transformation Talk Radio.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.